For our subject today, just two words: come back. Come back. From the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 9, which is the entire chapter. God will never abandon his people. No one who truly follows the Lord will ever be forsaken. The true followers of Christ will always have God's presence to guide and protect them throughout all the trials of life. That's why sometimes when you hear people talk about how they are suffering and they're going through, they're crying. It's not tears of sadness, it's tears of joy a lot of the time, because they know this too shall pass. Nothing is forever but God, and he is forever. The Lord will either give you enough strength to conquer whatever you're facing, or he'll give you the strength to walk right through it. Ain't God good? Amen. Time and time again, scripture of God promised to give true believers a victorious life, a life that bears fruit and live triumphantly through all the problems that they may encounter. Moreover, the Lord promised to give eternal life to those who truly repent and place their trust and hope in him and in him alone. This message was the last appeal made by God through his prophet, urging the people to repent and return to him. Don't raise your hand. Anybody at a point where you feel like you've been where you are so long that God has forgotten that you're there? My challenge to you is to stay there just a little while longer, and God will make himself known to you right where you are. Because if you're his, he will not leave. I said sometimes God is just like a circle. He takes us and we're on a circle, and we might fall off and get in some mess, and we try to find God. You ought to just stay right there, because he's coming back. He comes back to find those that's his. And I think about I used to hunt every now and then. We'd have a rabbit dog and we'd hunt rabbits. Old hunter told, said, son, said, wherever the dog run that rabbit from, said, if you got the patience to wait on him, said, that rabbit will bring that dog right back to you, because he runs in circles. I know God's not a rabbit, but I know he can find me wherever I am, no matter the situation I'm in. And this is what he's telling Hosea, to tell the people of Israel, come back to me, because I'm just waiting on you. Come back to me. God won't let you be destroyed. God made this appeal to him, and was the last appeal by Hosea, to tell them to come back to him, to be cleansed of the sin that was causing them to fall and be destroyed. God even told them what to say. He's told them what to say to get back to him. And so when you get ready to repent, he's saying you don't have to come up with something new. Just give back to me what I gave to you. I told y'all this before. I'm reading a book, and I finished it again the other day for the first time. It's praying God's word back to him. He knows what he said. He haven't forgotten what he said. So when you pray it back to him from your heart, He's gonna supply just what you need. He wanted them to turn to him. The final words that he gave to them was memorable, and they should etch it in their thoughts and in their mind. God wanted to present his people with a choice to make. Come back to me. Repent and leave from where you are and come back to me, or. I know it seems like I've been there a long time. Or. Endure the judgment that's coming on you. Come back to me, or. Endure the judgment. Come back to me, because I'm your daddy. I want the best for you, but you're walking away from me. Come back to me. Come back to me and allow me to put you under my protection. He appealed to them to choose righteousness over sin. He appealed to them to receive deliverance over judgment. He appealed to them to receive life over death. He appealed to them to receive repentance over rejection and gladness over wickedness. God wanted them to come back to him so he could offer them the best that they could ever have. Just got 3 points. Point number one. Verses 1 through 3, the Lord appealed for Israel to repent. The Lord issued a strong appeal for the people to repent. The Israelites desperately needed to turn their lives around and return to the Lord. If they refused, they were doomed to face the hand of God's judgment. There's a lot of other times, at least 3 other times in the book of Hosea, that God urges them to repent and turn to him. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. But this message in 14 was to be the final message of Hosea to the people. So the Lord poured out his heart through his dear prophet. Lovingly and tenderly, God wanted them to come back to him. He pleaded with his people to return to him, and he wanted to make sure they understood exactly what they needed to do. And he's that way with you and with me. He wants us to know. He told him, he said, you need to acknowledge your own sinfulness. That's why you have to repent of your sin. And I asked this question, and I'm not that smart. I said, well, God, you already know. Why do I have to tell you? You know. I'm just telling you something you already know. And then I remembered reading something about old man Paul when he was preaching to the church at Corinth, when he wrote them the letter. He wrote them the letter, but he told them things that he had already taught them when he was there in his presence. So see, that's why sometimes, help me, Holy Ghost, I'm fixing to mess myself up here. That's why sometimes it does you good to get these CDs and listen to these messages, because you don't get it all the first time. That's why my wife keep asking me sometimes. She said, you listen to the same CDs over and over and over again. I miss some. Paul said, he told him this, he said, I'm preaching to you now like this the first time you ever heard it in your life. And that's what God does. He tells us things over and over again because we miss something. That's why the children of Israel had to go around in the wilderness for 40 years. Every year they missed something that God was trying to. That's why we need to hear this word over and over and over again. God's making an appeal because the people are not receiving. They're constantly walking away. The Bible speaks of a great falling away of the church. That's why if there was not a falling away, you'd have had to take numbers to get in here this morning. But God is making an appeal. And don't you get discouraged because it looks like nobody is coming. You keep coming. Who's that, Elijah? God, he said, God, I'm the only one you got. God said, no, I got 7,000. So see, you don't know everything. You don't know what everybody's doing. You just live your life so you can draw others to Christ. God, in your life, by the life you live, God is making an appeal to somebody to come to him. This is why we need to live a life, a godly life in front of everybody. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. You ought to do it like you're doing it for God. And when you do it that way, God will get the glory. The people had to acknowledge their own sin. It was the sin that would cause God's judgment to fall on them. Sin was causing the downfall and the collapse of the nation of Israel. And let me stop right here. Hold myself right here, because where we are now in our country, we seem to be walking farther and farther away from the things that got us to the place where we used to be. We build upon a nation in God we trust. And now it's in everybody else but God. We trusting in everything and everybody else but God. I tell you, you need to come back to me. And then yesterday you think if you broke up with your girlfriend, you couldn't wait till Friday night so you could try to make up again. It's good when you make up, especially if both one of you in love with the other one. God's in love with me. When I sin and walk away from God, I'm going to enjoy the makeup. Don't just sin so you can make up, but when sin come in your life, all you got to do is submit to God and come back. But now if you keep running off out there, you better check yourself. You better check yourself, because you just might not. You just might not be there. So you need to stay in touch with God. Don't let sin occupy your life. God is making an appeal to you to stay with him. That's why he keep blessing you. That's why good things keep happening to you and you don't understand why they're happening to you. He just keep blessing you right on. God does not want to pass judgment upon his people, but he have to be true to his word. You have to acknowledge your sin and return to God. And then you have to ask him for forgiveness of your sin. Looking upon the people as children, none of us, when our children do wrong, none of us won't hold it against them all of their lives. We will forgive them for what they have done. That's the way God is. And listen to me. Help me, Holy Ghost. When you're done wrong, you don't need to come to God as if you're right and you standing up on your own self. You need to come humble before God. In the yesterday, you say, come with your hat in your hand. And be afraid to look up, because you're looking at Lord God Almighty, and I done wrong in front of God. That's the appeal that God is making. There's not a believer in the world that's a true believer when you sin and you walk away from God for just a little while. You know it before anybody else. If you got an ounce of sense, you'll hurry up and get on your knees. You'll do like Brother David. Yes, Lord. Lord, I've sinned, but don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. See, when we make this appeal, God's waiting on us to come back to him. He wants you to come back. There's not one of us that have a child of our own. If they do something contrary and away from what we have taught them, we just waiting on them to come back. I might beat you up if the now HRS might come to my house, but you're still my child, and I'm going to discipline you because I love you. That's the way God is, and I'm glad he's a God like that, because in his word, he said, those whom I love, I chasten. I want him to chase me because I know he loved me. And when I'm making this appeal, God will, the Lord's appeal for me to come to him because he's my father and he wants the very best for me. No matter how many alliances you form with the devil and other different places, he told them about making an alliance with Assyria. They can't help you. They can't save you. All they can do is add to the penalty that's going to be there with you. No matter how many of you form, they can't save you. No matter how big the empire is, in the final analysis, you got to come back here. Lord have mercy. But God is just waiting on you to come back to him. This part of Israel was trying to make alliances so other nations would not conquer them. And they didn't understand. They already had what they needed. They just did not recognize it. They had God on their side. And if I got God on my side, I'm a winner. I got everything I need. I got the one that said, let there be. He's right there with me. All this other stuff is going to fall away. But God will not leave you when he's making this appeal. He wants you to come back to him. And when you come, he's waiting on you. And he will give you just what you need. Listen, judgment's going to come. The people had to confess that mercy is found only in the Lord. Everything else is temporary, but God is permanent, and he is eternal. The kingdom that you're trying to get to help you, they gonna run out after a while, but by and by, you got to come back to me. You can run, but you can't hide, for he sees everywhere you go. You got to come back to him. See, God, I want you to come to him because mercy and compassion starts with God and it ends with God. He has it all, y'all. Nothing that he does not need. One of those long names they gave him is self-sufficient. That means within himself, he has everything that he needs, and he's always pouring out. Somewhere in there says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive. See, that's the appeal that he's making to you. Come to me. I got whatever you need. And then when you come to him, you can offer thanksgiving unto him. You can praise him. Where it said in there about the mercy will say, neither will we say anymore to the work of our hands. You get tired. You think that you got what you have because of you. No. No. You didn't get it because of you. And that's what we are beginning to say. We are becoming a materialistic society. I just believe in the yesterdays when we didn't have all of this stuff. This family down here kill a hog. And everybody in the neighborhood eat hog. I know now it's not kosher to eat pork, but the pork is what got us where we could get to where we don't want to eat. Used to leave the chicken on the yard so you could eat eggs. But then you would still Okay, okay. Brothers and sisters, when we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, we come back to Him. There is no power in earth that can take us out of His hand. Nothing can take us away from Him when we confess, truly repent, and come to Him. Not to the church, not to the preacher, but we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you come to Christ, you're going to be in the church. But you got to know that when you come to Him, He will just open His arm, no matter how wicked you have been. When everybody in the church see you walk down the aisle, they may look at you and frown and say, "What is that coming in here?" But God will be exalted. Because and don't y'all get up and leave. I know we got some visitors today, but if y'all could see me as I used to be in my sin, y'all wouldn't have come in here today. But then if we turn that thing around and I could see you, I might not let you come in. But God fixed us where we can't see that. I have to know that if God can save me, when I made my appeal to Him, He received me. Point number two. The Lord's wonderful promises to the repentant sinner or nation. God made some wonderful promises to those who repent. And don't y'all fall off the wagon here now. However, history shows us that the people of Israel did not repent. Therefore, these promises are yet to be fulfilled, and every one of them will be fulfilled. God will heal them of their wicked behavior and shower His love upon them. Last Saturday, we were, when all that bad weather was, the rain, we were on Palafox Street in Pensacola, outside. And all we felt was the shower, the rain, and some wind. And I'm saying that because it says that God will shower us with His love. And I heard somebody else talk about the way it said, where it rained over here in Christ, you said it was like it was in sheets. Now, don't see that rain and that shower as bad. See it as the shower of the blessings of God. That's why you got them five or six different suits you looked at this morning. And you had to decide which one you were going to wear. That's showers of blessings. Look in your freezer and you got a freezer full of food and you can't eat it all. That's showers of blessings. That's showering us with the love of God. That's what He said He would do for us. He would shower us with that if we would come to Him. This is in the promises of God. Heal them of all their wickedness. Shower His love upon them. God's grace will be and it was freely poured out upon the repentant sinner. And the anger of God will be turned away when we repent from our heart. You do know God can get angry, but He won't sin. He will get angry at His people. This is why they had to go into bondage, because they would not listen to Him. And I'm going to just throw this out there and I'm going to hurry up and leave it. That may be why you're having some of the problems you're having today. God will give new life to the person who truly repents. Said like the dew that caused the lilies to blossom. Went outside the other morning and it looked like it had rained. And it hadn't rained. But the dew fell. The dew fell. And the grass got watered. And the trees got watered. And the blooms come up. Because God will shower his blessings upon those that are truly his. God will make his people strong like the cedars of Lebanon. I don't know how the roots of cedars are in Lebanon. But I thought about pine trees around here. It have what we call a tap root. It got little roots that go out from it all around the side, but it got one that goes straight down in the ground called a taproot. It's hard to get out of the ground. And there are some weeds that grow around here. I don't know whether anybody else got any of them in their yard. I call them tough weeds. Your lawnmower can hit them and it just frizzles them and won't cut them up, no matter how sharp your blade is. Can't cut them up. But when you pull it, it's more of it beneath the ground than it is on top of the ground. Because the root has a tendency to go deep down on the inside of the earth so it can get all the nutrients that it needs. And this is what he tells. He said, God will plant you like the cedars of Lebanon. He'll take you so deep in his word that no matter what happened to you on top, there's still some word down on the inside. Yeah. Because until you get the root of it out of the ground, if you bury yourself in this word of God, God has a promise to you that you'll come back. You'll come back because the root of the word of God is still down on the inside of you. My head may be bloody, I may be unbowed, but the root of the word of God is still on the inside because God made a promise that he would be like the cedars of Lebanon within those that truly repent and come to him. This is why sometimes we see people that leave the physical church and they stay out there seem like forever and a day. But after a while, you see them stumble and crawl back in here because the word of God is planted deep within their soul and they have to come back. Don't know, they say, I don't know what it is, but something just keeps bothering me. But the word of God, it keeps coming up. Watch sometime where you pull a weed up from. And it looks like it, you got it all. But look at the fine tip of it and see if it's not real narrow like a pencil been sharpened, you broke it off. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to come back. See, that's what happened to a lot of Christian folks. They get off out there and they enjoy when they out there. The longer you stay out there, the farther you get away from it. But you got to turn around and come back to me. And this is what he's telling them. God will make his people strong like that cedar in Lebanon. That no matter what happens to you, you still a cedar. And you got something in you that's going to come back. He said, in that day, his people will become beautiful. Like the splendor of an olive tree. Now you got to, in this next little section I'm going to say here, you got to come out of your flesh. And you got to be in the spirit. And you got to be able to see this with the eyes of what God sees his everything that he's done. He said, you have to become acceptable to all. You have to become that way to all, producing a fragrance of the cedar tree. See, this is what God, when he created this canvas that we call the earth, I look at it sometimes as God drawing and painting a picture. Sometimes when you're riding down the road, and especially in this time of the year around Easter, just a little before Easter, when you look out across the woods and you see a wild dogwood tree, A lot of people might not go to church and they might not know it's Easter time, but they'll see that dogwood tree blooming across the wood. You ought to look at that and seeing as God painting a picture on a canvas for you. That's the way he does our lives. See, sometimes it looks like you're dead and that you're no good at all for anybody. But when springtime comes, when the wind blows and the rain comes and the sun shines and the sap begin to rise, life comes back within that tree that looked like it was dead. God made a promise to you that if you come back to him, he got some blessings for you. You're going to be beautiful as a cedar tree, and you're going to give the aroma like the olive tree, and you're going to have the beauty of a rose. And there's not too many more things that's more beautiful than a rose when it's in full bloom and it's out there setting, look like it's by itself. You got to know that man couldn't do that. God did it, and that's what he'll do for you. Thank you, Lord. Some of us with our lives, we might see our lives as just regular dry long soap, but when God looks at you, he see a rose that's blooming in the garden. He see all the pellets, none full out there that's in full bloom, and he sees it as a tree that's planted, that he planted. Can't nobody do you like God do you, and only God can make a tree. Only God can change your heart. That's the promise he made. He told you, he said, if you come back to me, I'll make you fruitful. What you mean fruitful? You will be producing fruit. People won't understand how you keep living, how you keep being productive, and you're doing what thus saith the Lord. You're producing fruit, and people are coming to you, and you're witnessing to them about this God that you serve. Might not hold an office in a church. In all essence, might not go to nobody's church, but you got God down on the inside. But after a while, you're going to remember something else that he said, where he said, fail not to assemble yourself, and you'll come to the house of God. That's what God will do for you. He'll make you bloom. He'll bloom you, make you bloom out, and then you will become famous. The wine of Lebanon that was produced from the vines was a popular wine. And he said in the word that you will become just like that. I thought about that word Lebanon, and it must be a good forest where good things grow, because the Bible constantly referred to it, and that can be your heart. You can be a child of God. God made promises to them that he was going to keep them. God wanted them to come back to him because he was in love with them, and they were his. He birthed them from the beginning, so they had to come back to him because he wanted them to. God will cause all the idolatry that they were worshiping among the people to no longer be there. You can't serve God and a false God at the same time, because God will not abide where he's not in charge. But if you got a false God, God won't stay there. You won't be serving God if you serve just because of who's in charge. You're serving for the wrong reason. I don't want anybody coming to Macedonia because of Dwight Baggett. If you come because of Dwight Baggett, you'll leave because of Dwight Baggett. You need to come because God draws you this way. And if God draws you this way, the devil in hell can't put you out. But you need to be lifting up God. And if God gets in your heart, the devil got to leave, because the devil don't want to be second either. And God will be first, or he will not be at all. You have to know that those who truly repent will know the Lord in his perfection. I'm not perfect, but through Jesus Christ, I'm perfect. I'm going to stand in the presence of God because Jesus is my intercessor. He is between me and God. So therefore, I have somebody to speak for me that have some clout. God will answer the prayers of the people who meet, and he will meet their needs. He will demonstrate his love and care for them by providing what they stand in the need of. Not what you want all the time, but what you need. God will provide it. He will be like the green tree that always bears fruit and provide shelter for those that may need shelter. God will provide for his people. That's why we still are standing today. The church is over 2,000 years old and it's yet standing. And the devil will tell you that it's declining. But he's a liar and he's the father of a lie. The church is getting stronger every day because you don't see the growth of a tree on the outside of it, but you got to dig down in the earth to find the roots of it before you kill the tree. If the roots are still there, the tree is alive. If a man died, shall he live again? Yes, if he's in Christ, you got to stay there with him. God made us some promises, and God will keep his word. He won't go back on his word. God gives us the wonderful promises of living forever in his presence. And that's what I'm looking forward to. This old body may get weary, may get weak, may physically die, but to be dead on this side is to be alive on the other side. God's all right. Thank you, Lord. I want to be able to call heaven my home. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, talks about the mansion that he's going to have for us. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I got to get out your way, but I got to get to point number 3. The Lord's found word is in verse number 9. Though this dear prophet Hosea, a choice had to be made. Hosea was telling the people that you got to make a decision. You can't keep sitting here on the fence, talking this way and doing that. You got to make a decision, brothers and sisters. You can't love God on a Sunday and worship the devil on a Monday. God don't be God every day of the week, or he's not going to be God at all, not in your life. He said he will be first, or he won't be anything. But let me get out your way. But God will take a people that have stumbled and fallen and got up, walked a couple of steps and fell again, picked up, walked another couple of steps and fell again. God will take those same people and exalt them. Don't you look at me funny. If I could see your life, just like if you could see mine, you'll see a lot of rise, ups and downs. And I think, I don't know about none of the rest of y'all, but when I think about me, I think about the book of Judges. Up and down, up and down, up, 25 or 30 years down. God yet takes you. God yet takes you because he looks at our heart and he knows that where you stand. Now, if you're in sin, I'm not putting crutches under your arm for you to continue in sin. You need to come out of it and stay out of it. And you can only stay out of it as long as you stay in the word. The mistake that we make a lot of the time, we give the devil place. We talk to him. Don't even talk to him. And you know how he comes at you, don't you? The way that you like. That's how he comes at you. Don't even talk to him. If he's on this street and you know he's on this street, go down the other street. Don't talk to him. Because if he can get you in conversation, he's going to, even when you are thinking about doing right, he's going to enter into that. If he got in church this morning and the devil, excuse my grammar, ain't the reason you keep sinning all the time. Maybe some of the time, but not all of the time. Some of the times it's me. It's me. But God's found word is that if you come to me and you truly repenting of your sin, I'm going to take you. And it's something that God knows about each one of us. None of the rest of us know it. We don't even know it about ourselves. He knows when you're serious, when you mean what you say. You might think that you can do this by yourself. And I said, I'm going to quit doing what I'm doing. No, I can't. But with the help of God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul did not leave that off, the last part of that verse. He put it on there because Paul himself probably had tried, he did try to do what thus saith the Lord. Because he tried to keep the Ten Commandments and he couldn't keep them. He was breaking them. But with the help of God and believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we can do all things through Christ. Doesn't mean you can do anything. But you won't do anything that's not through God, through Christ who strengthens you. The final word is in verse 9. Who is wise and who shall understand these things? Prudence, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. And I stop right there. That's as far as you can get. If you get to the, for the ways of the Lord are right, you will stay right there and you will continue to do the things that are right in the eyesight of the Lord. You will study his word to find out what's right so you can come back to God. Brothers and sisters, this is our first love. It's God, because he created us. So therefore he knows all about our heart. So we need to come to him and allow him to save our soul. Come back and allow God to save your soul. I'm through, but I want to read you two other verses from the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria. And Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he preserved. Talking about Jacob and Moses. To me, he was telling them, if God did this for them, what will he do for you as well? Jacob kept sheep for a wife. Jacob kept sheep for a wife. For the wife he thought he was going to get the first time, he didn't get her. He kept sheep again. Another 7 years so he could get what he wanted. I'm going somewhere. I'm getting out your way. And God would do like that for you. God might save you, you be saved, and you mess up and you go back into sin. God will do it again. He'll bring you back to him again. But if he saved you the first time, you saved. But you get out there and sin, and you're going to suffer for it. So stay with God and allow him to rule and reign in your life. Moses was a bad man to the nation of Egypt, because he killed and he ran. And I said last week, if you watch Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, he didn't leave like you saw him in the Ten Commandments. He left under duress. He ran. So see, sometimes when you're serving God, Moses was trying to do what God did, but he was trying to do it one at a time. And he was trying to do it his way. You can't serve God your way. Yeah. I know that bothers you because we're strong-headed. We want to do it our way. You can't serve God your way. It has to be his way. And when you serve him his way, he'll bless what you do. Amen. With that, we'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you don't know God as your Savior, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ, and you come just as you are. Don't try to wait till you get things straight. You can't straighten things out. You have to come to God just as you are. Wicked, wounded, weary, wounded, and sad, you have to come. With all your mess, you come and you bring it to God. And he will take you just as you are. Will you come to Christ today and allow him to save your soul? He will save you, but you have to come. You have to come back to him. You were his anyway, but you have to come back to him because you walked away from him. Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Make up your mind. Will you come? God bless you.